always should have the Word of God. John chapter 4, not too long ago, we gave a little ministry on this, and we just want to read a couple of verses, please. Look at verse 31 of John chapter 4. Keep in mind, our subject tonight is missions. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months? And then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look at the field, for they are already white for harvest. Keep your finger on the page, as we probably will be referring to a few incidents there. Now, I'm sorry we don't have enough maps to go around. Brother Donald was very kind in running off a few for me without charge, and I appreciate it very much. As you know, we spent 4 weeks in Argentina. And I just felt like tonight we want to share a few things with you. I know I have already given you some of it, but for the sake of those that were not here, maybe we'll repeat a few things. Argentina is a big place, bigger than I thought. I wasn't conversing with the map when I went down there. Always knew it was big. It's bounded really by Uruguay, Brazil, and Paraguay. As well as Bolivia and Chile. I didn't realize that. And it explains how many of the young men and women come from the surrounding countries to come to the Word of Life Bible Camp there. Now, the Word of Life Bible Camp was started by Jack Wirtson many years ago, 1971, along with the help of a local, or a brother who was a local missionary there, Joe Jordan, a great man of God. Believe me, Joe Jordan had been mightily used for the Lord in that area. Speaks Spanish fluently, and only the Lord knows how many people have been won to Christ through his ministry in those parts. And it's a place called Monte, where the Bible Institute is, and about 90 miles southwest of Buenos Aires, Buenos Aires being the capital. 40 million people in that country. Most of them are Roman Catholic. Many of the Christians have a very difficult time in some areas. One area in particular that I know where there are a lot of Christians, but they can't get work because they are suppressed. You're a Christian and you cannot get work as easy as a Roman Catholic person. And that's a fact of life. Many of them do have a lot of hardships there in that country. Now, the other night, Sunday night, I talked about so many being below the poverty line in Argentina. And then I talked about how this dear brother gave his testimony and while we were eating our filet mignon steak. And, you know, Mark, don't miss a trick. He said, Daddy, how can you talk about below poverty line and you down there gouging on a filet mignon steak? Well, I wanted to set the record straight. My brother Fernandez is a very kind and courteous man. He had a lot of those missionaries joining in. Never been in a 5-star hotel. Tell you the truth, I don't even know if I've ever been in a 5-star hotel. And I've never had so many filet mignons in my life for a short period of time. And those men literally wept because they were invited to such a place. They can't afford steaks down there only cost about $3 a cheaper steak. And the filet mignon, I don't think it was, a whole dinner cost more than $7. A whole dinner, if you will, including the tip and the coffee and the salad or whatever. And because of 3 pesos to a dollar, the dollar devalued so tragically in Argentina in the year 2001, the International Monetary Fund had to close all the banks down because they were tragically in debt. When we talk about a debt, beloved, we're talking about $45 billion in debt. And, you know, they borrow a lot of money to try to keep going. Even though they're supposed to be self-sufficient, they have a lot of thing growing there. They have their own beef, their lamb, you name it. And it seems like it should be a very thriving and industrious country. Well, it is to a degree. But when you have inflation increasing, the dollar devaluing, and people out of work, and when we talk about people out of work, you can figure 21% of 40 million people are out of work. 21%. Staggering when you think of it. And so I was living in luxury, stayed on the richest avenue. That's where my brother has his apartment. I've never been first class in a plane, never bought a first class ticket, but I left Nassau first class all the way, and I enjoyed it, man. And let me tell you, this 76-year-old preacher, whether I was deserving of it or not, I want to tell you, I enjoyed it. I laid off. The man came to me that night. He said, "Sir, would you want me to wake you at 6 o'clock in the morning for breakfast?" I said, "I want to have everything on the menu." "Yes, do wake me up." And he, sure enough, 6 o'clock, he woke me up. Putting that aside, there are many things, you know, you don't like to boast about your brother, but I thank God for him. He had such a compassionate heart. We went out into an area of 4 million people, and France doesn't weep very easily. I do. I cry very quickly. And when dear brother Carlos, a missionary, and his wife, when we went to visit them, he put a few dollars in their hand, and they started to cry, you know. A few dollars that you and I wouldn't even notice or miss because they get no support from Word of Life. They go out from Word of Life Institute because they want to be missionaries, but they have to get support from churches outside the country. Because churches within are so desperately poor, they can't even support the missionaries. One of the things that really rejoiced my heart, I was glad. No child ever goes to a Sunday school, but first they serve breakfasts for the children. When I say breakfast, it's a Kool-Aid and donuts and maybe a half of a sandwich. And those children nibble on that like it's the greatest meal. They didn't have anything when they left home. Not a thing. And 200 kids is common for many of the assemblies there in Argentina. And I went and said, "Come, Brother Frank, we want to show you the back room where we have the children." And I went. I didn't know what to expect. And there they were all sitting orderly, quiet, and they were eating their breakfast before Sunday school. I said, "You feed them every Sunday?" "Oh, yes, every Sunday. We have to give them." "So where did you get the money from?" He said, "The Lord always provides. A miracle, miracle. That's all I can tell you, miracle." But the children come first. The children come first. Pablo, my brother gave Pablo, who's one of the executives on Word of Life board, he said, "Pablo, you need a nice coat. It's 40 degree temperature now, blazer." He said, I don't know, Senor Fernandes, that's what he called him, Senor Fernandes. I don't know. He said, I'll make out. "No, Pablo." So he bought him. And boy, let me tell you something. Down there, you could get some expensive clothes very cheaply. I mean, good clothing. I never bought anything. I'm too cheap. Trouble is, I got too much in my closet now. And he bought him a blazer. And afterwards, with tears in his eyes, he broke down. He said, "You know," he said, "God must be in this." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Because yesterday, a poor brother was so cold, I gave him the only coat I had." You know, that's the kind of spirit. He went cold. He was cold. He was shivering and gave another poor worker his blazer. And he only had that one. And he told my brother, he said, "God must be in this for you to look and see that I need a blazer." And I tell you, I was so tickled. He is a humble, a godly brother. Brother Dan Newt is also on the committee. Andre Fernandez Paz, which means Fernandez Peace. The word Paz means peace. And he is the regional director. And all of their activities is hinged around not just teaching these young people the Word of God, but that with missions is all they seem to have in mind. I never preached the word down there, give a 40-minute message or whatever, and they always wanted a 20-minute talk on missions about the Bahamas. I had to tell them the truth. I said, well, 48 years ago when I went to the Bahamas, they said, 48 years? You've been a missionary for 48 years? They couldn't get over that. They come up after meeting, wanted my autograph. I felt so humble. Who wants to know about Frank Perry? And I gave them scripture verses, of course, in their Bible. But the point is this, that the missionary enterprise, I use the word respectfully, and drive, enthusiasm is such as I've never seen in all my travels. I've never seen that kind of zeal. And that's all they talk about. I have a brochure, just one of them, by David Barra and his wife, Patricia. I'm going to let the missionary committee look at it and show you what they have in mind. And no visible support, but God always comes in and blesses them. They made this up for me. And I told them I'd share it with the Christian Our Missionary Support Group. And hopefully, maybe we could do something for them down in that area. Directly so. And Brother Haggerty spent a lot of time down there, by the way, in Argentina. Old English Brother Charlie Wright. And I thought about Charlie Wright, really. But he is a godly man. I'm talking about of the assemblies in Buenos Aires. 28 assemblies there alone. And, of course, there are many others scattered all over the Argentinas. I had the privilege of preaching in so many of them. I don't even know the names of them. I can't remember the names of them. I preached with 5 interpreters in different places. And, oh, what times of blessing we had. And I said, Mr. Wright, how did the assembly get started? The English brethren came from England years ago. Many of them were businessmen, but they were godly Christian men. And they started the business all right, and they worked down there, but mainly they planted assembly. They preached the gospel, people got saved, and that's how most of those assemblies in Buenos Aires got started. And from there, of course, other assemblies by the more, younger generation who've gone out and started a lot of assemblies there in Argentina. The British English people put the railway down there. They did a lot for the docking of ships and many other things. Of course, they gradually phased out because there was an anti-movement against the British folk, and many of them had to leave Argentina. Many of them are still there, mind you. But the work that they started is going on tremendously. And I had the joy. In fact, the regional director of Word of Christ, Mr. Andre Fernandez Paz, he's an assemblyman. He's from the assembly. Jack Wertson was from the assembly. How many remember when we had Brother Jack, when I had him at the ballpark many years ago? Boy, you folk are really old. Yeah, but I'm glad you remembered it. We had great times. At that time, Jack Wertson asked me to be the regional Caribbean director for Word of Life. I turned it down, preferred just to work with smaller groups in the Bahamas with the assemblies over the years. And the Lord knows my heart. We had great times and tent meetings and other facets of work here in the Bahamas. You got your finger on your map in Buenos Aires? The first place we stopped is about 250 miles. We took a plane there. And they, by the way, a couple of the men on the staff, we went first class. Fernandez wanted to buy them first class. No way. They went economy. That's how they are. They would feel uncomfortable. I'm going to tell you the truth. I didn't feel uncomfortable. I went first class all the way. And then from there we went to just a little to the west, a place called Cordoba. And that was one of the highlights. Well, in Santa Fe, we visited the rehab center, and here again, Word of Life responsible for starting that with the young men. And you talk about heartbreak is going to that rehab center, and yet joy. You want to hear testimonies of broken lives and what happened between them and their parents, and it's almost unbelievable. in contrast with Christian parents like we have in Spanish Wells. Many of our kids go wrong and end up with narcotics. But what the circumstances these kids were brought up under. One young boy got up, a nice looking fella, and he said, I started on drugs when I was 9 years of age. And what he told, what happened from the time then he's 15, when I was there, and there wasn't a dry eye in the place, that every one of those men got up and testified how they were saved. And they're born again. And I asked Pablo, who goes up there once a week, and he takes different things for them to eat. And Pablo says, let me tell you, Mr. Perry, every one of those men are genuinely converted. He says, you know what? The only thing they talk about is being a missionary and going out in Argentina and serving the Lord. That's all they talk about. We had the privilege of going up to the mountains in Cordoba. For a reason, we drove for miles, way up in the mountains. And you talk, that's where the beauty was. I was astounded, breathtaking, way up in the mountains. And you look down, you see the rivers, rivulets and streams. And up in the very crest of one of the mountains, there was this land that a lumber company had closed down and left. A huge building in the center of it, and another building, the barn for all the equipment, which is already built, ready-made, to be the auditorium to preach in. What they have done, that very week, Word of Life put a deposit down on it and bought that for 90,000 pesos. All right, 3 pesos to the dollar. Figure it out what it would be in American dollars. Okay, I'm not a mathematician. Give you some idea. And they bought it, and they transferred those rehab boys up there in that mountain, they're going to work up there and put the place in shape. And they got 2 cottages there, and they're living in the cottages. And to them, it seems like they were moved out of Hades and placed into heaven. And I say that in love, because the rehab center, I must admit, it's the best that they could do. But they're up in that mountain air, and they've got all kinds of projects that they have in mind, what they're going to do, and how they're going to go down to the city on special occasions and go knock on doors and give gospel tracts and reach souls for Christ. That's their aim. That's what they want. Most of them feel that they're cured and delivered, and they're going to go out. We went to an area not far from Buenos Aires called Laredo. Very difficult name sometimes. Just outside of Buenos Aires, 4 million people. I believe that must be the poorest area that I went to. They say there's a lot of poor areas, 50% or more under the poverty line, below poverty level, and it must be so. What I saw there was just heartbreaking. But Carlos and his wife, just one of the missionaries, and there were many, and he's working there with those people. And I saw the conditions. And they're so happy doing what they're doing. It's just amazing. And they were delighting to tell about the souls that were saved. We've been knocking on doors. That's a famous expression for evangelism. Knocking on doors. Jehovah's Witnesses can never beat them. 300 people profess to know the Lord in one area alone. So I said, what shall I preach? One thing about Mr. Andre Fernandez Paz, he gave me an itinerary, and in each of the churches I went to, he said, teaching, evangelicia, or gospel. He put down what to preach. And they wanted teaching. You know why? Oh, no, these are young converts. Just teach. And I taught Romans 8. And you would thought heaven came down to those people, those young converts. Beloved, let me tell you, the hunger for the Word of God is so outstanding. And they came up and wanted explanations to certain things that I said, you know, and what I talked about. And here again, they want a 20-minute talk on the Bahamas to work up here. What did you do? How did you get around? I said, well, I used to go by boat, And by boat, what size boat? They corner you with questions, you know. I said about 16 footed, then 18, then I got one a little bigger. And I would go over to Abaco and I'd, oh, that's all. They wanted to know more about these islands. And I told them Bahamas is underpopulated and we're evangelized. We're not like you folk down here. There's churches in galore. I said we got preachers preaching, television going, preaching the gospel continually, radio. But I didn't give them the impression that we were of a dark country, or like in some interior parts of Africa and in Burma, India, or like out in the Orient. No, I wanted to give them an honest, up-to-date appraisal what our country was like, how blessed we are with our government. And you mean you can read the Bible and pray in the public schools? I said, yes, we do that freely. And we do not have any opposition or persecution from churches whatsoever. They couldn't get over that. But they were thrilled because of it. And, but when I told them about Spanish Wells, and I could see them. I'm speaking through an interpreter. I says, we have about 12 to 1300 people. That's been like that now for 40 years, by the way. I don't really know what the population of Spanish Wells is. And with the Haitian population, now I'm sure it's a lot more than that. I said, and we have three churches, and I said, I'm going to venture to say that 60% of the population there, I believe, are born-again believers. What? They could not get over that. I told them the three churches are usually full on Sunday night, and we preach the gospel. They couldn't get over that. See, they deal a lot in percentages. You talk about death rate, they could tell you almost to the person, percentage-wise, the mortality rate of their infants, for instance. It's very high. They're 16% of the population of Argentina, babies die. 60% of babies die when they're born. The mortality rate is very high with babies, children that are born like that. And it's astounding how many young people there are in the country. There's only about 4 million people, or maybe 8 million. I may be wrong there. But it wouldn't be no more than 7 million, I don't believe. That's over 65. Or less, maybe less than that. But a lot of teenagers, millions of teenagers in that country. And they also have the Word of Life, the structure that's there, the staff, their homes are right there on the campus, and the Bible Institute have their dorms. Here again, my brother was very kind. He built, when he was there the first time, 100 students wanted to come but couldn't because there was no accommodation, and he built that for them. He may not want me to tell you that tonight, but sometimes it's good to give honor where honor is due. Being that your brother, sometimes you hold back, you know, but I think a little praise sometimes even of your family members is in order. Don't you agree? Sometimes we hold back. But I want to tell you these things to encourage your heart that, Fernandez has such a burden and a vision for these things, and his heart is soft. And he had that two-story place built. When he went there and the place was built, and they said, this is the man, 650 students said, now students, in Spanish, of course, with an interpreter, they said, this is Brother Fernandez Perry, who not only built the dorm for 100 students, and 100 students living there didn't know that. And he said he's also had miles of gas pipeline, that's propane gas, because the government wouldn't do it, and they couldn't get the company to do it because it was too expensive. They had no heating system whatsoever. And now they've got that gas running out there, that huge pipeline out to Monty, and he paid for every bit of that. Construction, pipeline, and put that in for him. And when he went in that auditorium, they stood up and gave him an ovation, but they wept. They wept that somebody could be so kind and to do that for them down there in Monte, in Word of Life. The Word of Life is independent of the Word of Life up north, mind you. Well, they come down and help. Joe Jordan is up in Schroon Lake, but they are on their own. They finance their own projects. And one of the things that I marveled at as well, Uruguay, Bolivia, Brazil, Peru, students come, or Christians come from these areas when they're born again, even Dominican Republic, and come to the Bible Institute. And you know what they want? Why they want to study the Bible? To go back to their country to be missionaries. That's a whole life. That's all they talk about. Beloved, they have a real love for the work of God. And just quickly, the students that can't afford it, they bring in. They pay their way down, or they work their way down. One fellow worked in a circus. I couldn't get over this. And what did you do? He says, I put on gloves and had to box a kangaroo in the circus. He says, and what, he's a big fella. I think he weighs 280 pounds. He says, I feel ashamed to tell you. He says, but the kangaroo won every time. He said, but I picked up enough money to come down here to Word of Life. So you see how zealous and enthused they are just to get to Bible Institute and hear the Word of God. Beloved, don't let's be spoiled. You're blessed above measure. You have the Word of God coming out of your ears. You know what I mean by that, don't you? We have the finest of the Lord's servants that come. Don't take it for granted. Because I'm always afraid that if you take it for granted, one day God might take it away from us. It might be a famine of the Word of God. I hope not. But let's really appreciate the Word of God. Let's appreciate the servants of God that come here and share the Word. That will get out of that state or frame of mind. Oh, another meeting tonight? Tuesday night already? You know, God deliver us from that. There should be such an enthusiasm and anticipation. Oh, it's Tuesday tonight. I can't miss being there tonight. I know you're tired. Heat like it's been this week. Your whole body, your strength is just sapped from you, your body. I realize that. But the Word of God will always revive you and always bless you and always lift you up. Many times I've come to a meeting, I felt like staying home. And boy, if I'd have stayed home, I'd have missed the greatest blessing of my life. That night, that preacher gave a word, something was unique and different, and it was a wonderful blessing. I you know some, all the tiredness of my body left. Some of the pain stayed, but it didn't matter. I enjoyed it, and I said, boy, I'm sure glad I went tonight. Now I realize when you're sick, you're sick. It's different. Here are these students, a lot of them. I said, Brother Andre, I said, you said that quite a few of them don't have any money to pay their tuition in the institute. How do they make out? He said, oh, Brother Frank, they get up 4 o'clock in the morning. They milk the cows. They do the farm work. And that's how, since we get the vegetables to feed the students and the milk that we are able to give to the students. And now and then we kill beef. And they have all that system there just to defray expenses. And I was surprised how many of those men are involved in that work. Why? To learn the Word of God. I gave teaching on Thessalonians. They came up to the meeting after that, and they were so enthused and thrilled with it, and they just mobbed me, wanted me to explain this, and what did I mean by that? And then they would say, gracias, 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 which means thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. They were just overjoyed, 650 students. And when you preach, you could hear a pin drop. And there they had their pads, and they were writing down because the interpreter was speaking in the Spanish language. And I tell you, I sense the Spirit of the Lord moving at that meeting. Do you know the soccer games that you probably see on television? I call it the old-time English football, but they call it soccer now. But the only sports that they're crazy about is soccer. They're fanatics, the people in Argentina. Do you know Word of Life has a team of men, two or three men, who work with those football players, those soccer players? I have a video that one of the leaders gave me, and four of the soccer players, those men who they won the World Cup about, what, 2-3 years ago, Argentina won, those men, they led to Christ. One of them is Brother Lopez. He's in a wheelchair from a car accident, was one of the main players in that game that was won. And you know what? Lopez and these four men will reach for Christ. What do you think they're doing? Reaching other ball players for the Lord. They said how their life was empty and meaningless until they found Jesus. They'd never heard about Christ. They never knew that God loved them. And these men gave their hearts to the Lord. Now, Jesus said, don't you know that time is short? Don't you know I have work to do? And, you know, there are 4 months, you say, to harvest. But I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the field, for they are already white. White for harvest. They're ready. Ready to harvest. There should be a sense of urgency, a sense of value. And, of course, there's also reward. He that sows, who reaps, we may rejoice together. So it's going to be a reaping time. Don't give up. Just press on for the Lord in this area. Verse 39, says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that ever I did. Here's a glorious witness. And she was able, by her influence, by her testimony, people came out. And then they later said, not because of what happened to you, but we have seen for ourselves, and we believe. That's what it's all about, beloved. Every facet of work in missions, everything we do for the Lord, every time we preach the gospel, it's that they might believe. And that's what we want to do, not only just catch the vision, but maintain the vision. Now, there's a lot more could be said, but I thought I'd give this a little missionary talk tonight. And because it's been a burden to my heart. And I want to thank you for praying for me while I was away. It really blessed my heart. I'll never forget the blessing of the Lord, how he really encouraged my own heart and showed me the value of missions again. A very humbling experience, but it was well worth it. I know you prayed for me, and I want you to know I really appreciate that. Father, we thank you again. For being together with your dear children, we pray indeed that you will encourage our hearts and that we might understand that every penny that we give toward mission could be the means of a soul being saved. Help us not to look at it as an appendix or some afterthought, but that we might indeed give it its priority, that it be a real sense of value in our hearts. I have food, meat to eat that you know not of. To do the Father's work. May that be our desire as well, for his name's sake. Again, I want to thank you. My carport is literally filled with clothing. We've sent 3 bins already to Nassau, Sister Dawson. We're so thrilled with it. We're going to send more to Nassau, to East Street, to those poor Christians. Many of those women that got saved in the last crusade we had. And we're going to send a few more bins. The rest we want to take down to South Eleuthera. I was hoping to get a vehicle. I'm still working on it. Get a few young men to go down there. We've got 14 bins, I think it is. It's huge plastic bins to be able to go down. Not only give out clothing, but to give out the gospel tracts, our daily bread. That's what we have in mind. I hope I will have some volunteers. And I'll keep you informed, okay? And a lot of clothes that came in were nice clothes. I went through them all. Only a couple pieces I had to put aside because they were stained. And I'm not blaming you, because sometimes it's difficult to get in there and you don't realize it, you know. Only one piece of all of it that I had had holes in it. Would you believe that? Now, that's good. I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm only telling you, you did a great job. The other churches have been informed. They've brought clothing as well, and they're good clothing. I was teasing Marion. I said, I'd like you, that dress you got on Sunday. I said, put that in the box. She said, you must be crazy. But you know something? She gave some good dresses. And all you women, Shirley gave some lovely dresses. All of you. I know if I call names and get in trouble, I only want to encourage your heart. You did a great job, all right? And I appreciate it. That's what I want you to know, okay? And we're going to try to make sure, with the help of the Lord, to get those clothing down and give out to people. And I know they're going to really appreciate it as a result. Thank you again. God bless, all right? And it's 1 minute before time. Would you believe that? Amen.